Good morning. Time for the farm show here at the Shank of the Day on Wax 104.5. As Jill and Krista and myself, Bob Bosol, bring you the news in agriculture around the area, around Wisconsin, around the nation, and around the world as part of the Midwest Farm Report family. We've got markets, 13 First Alert weather. We'll look at all kinds of calendar items and what's going on in the world of agriculture. Again, it's time for the Farm Show on Wax 104.5.
Good morning on this bright Thursday morning. The moon is out, bright and shiny. I didn't see a cloud in the sky. You've got Jill Welke here to help you get through the chores. And a little bit of an adventure yesterday. We had three more calves, so we are up to 34. And the shed looks like a nursery now. I've got two cows and two calves in one pen and another cow that my daughter brought in into another pen that she calved during the day. But today it's supposed to be sunny, and I'm hoping to get them put out and let them have their freedom is the way I look at it. But on a plus side, most of the calves were all shoved into one of our calf buildings that my family, my son and daughter-in-law and daughter and future son-in-law all bedded all up on Tuesday night, made them all nice and fresh again for them. And those calves sure do know how to take advantage of it. And those cows put those babies in there because they know that's the place to be when it's cold out, when it's damp out. So the calves are doing well. It's just a little extra work for the humans that take care of them. Well, today, here on the Farm Show, we are going to talk about agricultural products that are adopting special labeling. And you'll kind of like this story, so you just stay tuned. We'll get to it. And I looked up some stuff about land and what people are doing, landowners are doing with their land and what they think is important. And the applications for USDA Urban Agriculture and Innovative Production grants are due April 9th. And the funds are available in two categories, the planning projects, and those are the ones to initiate or expand agricultural efforts in urban areas and suburbs, and implementation projects. Those are to accelerate existing and emerging models of urban, indoor, and other ag practices that serve farmers and communities. Visit usda.gov/urban or farmers.gov/urban for more information. And the reason I put this out there, and I know it says urban and suburb, but it also says indoor. And I know when I go visiting to FFA chapters, they have an awful lot of those grow towers that students share with the elementary grades, and they're growing lettuce, and that actually makes it onto the students' trays for lunch. And I just throwing it out there, any of you ag teachers or FFA advisors or anybody, even in the food service, that would be willing to or wanting to do some more work with growing the crops, growing the food that go onto those students' plates. And I know that I'm going to do some more research about the eating habits of students after they've been actually harvesting their own lunch, harvesting their own lettuce, and find out if they've seen a change. I was down to Leva Strom, and I chatted with Sarah Eberhardt. She is the FFA advisor and ag teacher down there, and they just got a grant from DATCAP to expand their outside learning area and expand their community garden. And it's always good to see, you know, to see those kids get their hands dirty, get those plants planted, but then see if there's a difference in how they feel about their food and how they take in, you know, that information. And I know that there's a lot of school districts out there. I mean, I need to compile a list a little bit to really put it together and know that there's a need out there. And I think those littles have a good time planting and harvesting, and I've even heard of them having a salad day. So good to make those connections from the high school to teachers to the FFA members, and it's always a good learning opportunity. And also today we're going to be hearing from Charity on native plants, and she'll be talking to Amy Staffen. And native plants in Wisconsin had to take a little break from growing, that's for sure, these last few days, but the weather should be looking up.
The crack of dawn never sounded so good.
The weather's warm, nah, it's hot. We're in Costa Rica on our Wax Holiday Vacations farm tour, and we're going to talk to the Shiseks first from up in the Medford area. Jane is with us first. And Jane, how'd you guys decide that you wanted to come to this part of the world?
It was our neighbors, Pawskis, that talked us into it. And it was a great adventure because we hardly ever leave Medford.
But you're a long way from Medford now.
Yes, we are.
Well, we started by learning about coffee right off the bat. What did you learn about coffee, and what did you think of that visit?
I drank the wrong kind. Very impressed with the coffee plantations, and I can't believe the amount of work those workers do to produce coffee. And it is awesome that they have figured out a way to do it all with water.
They really have. It's not electronic or anything like that. What do you think about the scenery? We've seen some different, unbelievable scenery.
Unbelievable. Coffee plants, many of them are grown in the hillside, and they have to pick these beans not once but four times, and they pick the ripest berries, and then they have to go back again and again and again. Quite labor-intensive.
Well, that's for sure. So when you get home, are you going to be drinking Arabica or Robusto beans?
Arabica.
That a girl. All right.
My coffee grinder.
There you go with her coffee grinder. That's Jane. Vic Shiseks is also with us. And Vic, we had kind of a jungle cruise, so to speak. Describe what that was all about and what we saw.
Oh, that was really enjoyable. I was really impressed by the fact that there were no bugs, no mosquitoes, but it was right on the water. And we saw a caiman, which is a kind of a little big lizard. And we saw a couple small an alligator. And we saw several different varieties of monkeys. I think there are three different varieties of monkeys that we saw. And we saw a lot of different birds also, yes.
All right. And what about the trip overall, as far as you're concerned? I mean, it's hot. We've done some walking, got some exercise.
Oh, it's been very warm, but it's very bearable. The thing is that there aren't that many mosquitoes. There are no mosquitoes, and it's surprising that there aren't. But it's been very enjoyable. So much to see.
Got a lot of pictures?
A lot of pictures, yes. We'll have to go through delete, 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 just because we take multiple of the same thing, yes.
You're like everybody else. Vic and Jane Shiseks from up in the Medford area. Now, Al and Linda Manns are with us from Jim Falls near the dam. Linda, you've been with us before. How do you like this trip in Costa Rica and yet to get to Panama?
Yeah, I like it real well. It's very warm and that, but we've had a great time, a lot of food. I'm learning to eat a lot of rice.
Yeah, and black beans.
And black beans, yes.
So what are some of the things that have stood out for you? We've had the jungle cruise. We've had the coffee plantation. We had a little bit of a kind of a unique little self-sustaining farm.
Yes, the farm was fun to see, too, everything. And I enjoyed the wooden wagons.
The ox carts.
Ox carts, that's what they were called. And seeing all the painting and all the work they did in that, that's gorgeous.
Looked like rose mauling, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It did look like rose mauling. And it takes them a long time to make one.
Would you like to be in the fencing business over there when you drove through those towns? Were you surprised the way they put fences up?
Oh, there's fences everywhere. It's just amazing. In front of the houses, it's like they have a fence right in front of their garage doors and everything. It's really different how they live.
And these aren't little picket fences, are they?
No, they're metal and steel. I don't think I'll ever try going over them either.
I don't think you should. Thanks, Linda. Al's with us, Al Manns as well. And Al, coffee, that farm, the ox carts, the jungle cruise, what's kept you busy?
Well, they were all good. I mean, I was really impressed with the hydraulics that they used for the coffee plantation. Being an electrician, things like that kind of amaze you. And then there was that sill we saw on the farm where we had to drink that terrible good stuff. That was kind of fun. But and the jungle cruise, I mean, on the boat was good. And some of this brings back a few memories for me, too. So
I was going to say, back in your younger days, you were over in Vietnam. And I would imagine this vegetation and foliage kind of takes you back.
It certainly does. It brings back some memories. Some things are good and some are bad.
Well, this time you don't have to look behind you all the time.
That's right. You don't have to do that, no. Unless you're looking for somebody to fall down.
But the temperature also, the weather remind you of Vietnam?
The only thing that I noticed difference about the temperature is there it could rain for like 2 minutes, and then the sun would come out, and it was like a steam bath. You could see the moisture on the leaves and everything. So it was a steam bath, and then 10 minutes later, it started raining again.
This is more fun coming this way.
This way is much more fun, yeah.
All right, thanks, Al. Al Lindemans from Jim Falls area. As we continue traveling, still in Costa Rica with our Wax Holiday Vacations Farm Tour, I'm Bob Bosold.
And it is time for our first look at our markets. Cash livestock and our choice-fed beef steers are 183 to 196, with those mixed steers, 163 to 182. Choice-fed beef heifers are 185 to 196, with mixed heifers, 150 to 182. Finished dairy cross steers and heifers are 160 to 190, with choice-fed Holstein steers, 160 to 169, and the select and silage-fed steers, 131 to 159. Cows are 95 to 146. Bulls are 120 to 155. Butcher hogs are 60 to 104. With sows at 56 to 66 and boars at 20 to 24. No test on the market lambs, but the feeder lambs are 220 to 255. Ewes are 70 to 135. Small goats are $5 to $75. Medium goats are $55 to $255. Large goats are $100 to $450, with nanny goats at $45 to $260. And our futures markets. Those markets are growing upward today. Yesterday, they were all headed down. Today, they're turned around the corner and are looking a little more positive. Our futures markets for the live cattle for April is 183.60, up 50 cents. For June, 178.76, up 30 cents. August, 176.67, up 25 cents. And October, 179.82, up 20 cents. And our feeder cattle futures for March, 248.05, up 32 cents. April, 246.87, up $1.42. For May, 248.27, up another $1.02. And August, 257.90, up 80 cents. And our lean hog carcasses, also heading upward. April, 86.10, up 52 cents. May, 92.40, up 65 cents. June, 101.60, up 25 cents. And July, 103.97, up another 12 cents. And our Chicago Board of Trade, the grain stocks report comes out tomorrow. So there was not a lot of movement on our corn prices and our grain prices. So July, 439, up just a fraction. Oats for July, 348, no change from yesterday. July soybeans are coming in at 1203, down 3 cents. July soybean meal is $341 a ton, down a dollar. July wheat is at 563, up just 1 penny. But our dairy markets took another hit. Cheese barrels, 142, down one and three quarters cents. 40-pound blocks, 140 and three quarters, down 1 3/4 cents. Gray AA butter, 284, up just a penny. But our Class 3 milk futures, they took quite a hit yesterday. March, we are holding steady at 1641. But April, we're down 21 cents to 1564. May down 32 cents to 1605. June sitting at 1677, down another 32 cents. And July down 24 cents to 1752 and heading downwards through the end of the year. And here's a look at some farm news. Another agricultural product is adopting special labeling promoting their ingredients as coming right off U.S. farms. Starting in May, some of the beer brands produced by Anheuser-Busch will be sporting a new look. A seal on the label with the words U.S. Farmed. The company is working with American Farmland Trust, a national nonprofit that works to keep farmers on the land and protect farmland with sustainable farming practices, to adopt the certification and seal. The U.S. Farmed designation requires that a company gets at least 95% of its agricultural ingredients from farms in the United States. This idea reminds me of the Made in the USA and Product of the USA labeling for other agricultural products that are grown and processed right here in the United States. The American Farmland Trust plans on using the funds raised through the U.S. Farmed certification to expand programs and provide U.S. farmers across all 50 states with free resources and expert advisory services to help them access, protect, and maintain American farmland. And this could be out on those Anheuser-Busch products as early as May. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing if somebody can find some of those and let us know what's going on. And according to the new Landowner Annual Land Survey Report, fewer people are looking to buy farmland this year. And those land prices and cash rents are expected to remain steady. Data was collected from more than 1,000 farmers, ranchers, and investors representing owners in 44 of our states. Three-quarters of the respondents were either row crop farmers or livestock producers, with the other landowner respondents not actively farming. According to the landowners who responded to the survey, land values have reset slightly lower, with little chance that row crop and pasture land values will collapse any further. The survey also asked about the landowners' priorities when it comes to their land and stewardship. And that came out as taking care of the land. And it came out, stewardship came out on top with 51.5% stating that as their main goal in ownership. So that's taking care of that land, with stewardship and profitability equal in importance at 45.3% of respondents, and making more money from the land important to just 2.5%. So we really do take care of our farmland and we put it to good use.
Spring gardening is just around the corner. And this year, while you're trying to figure out what plants you actually want to plant, consider native plants. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Amy Stafen, Department of Natural Resources, conservation biologist, says there's a growing interest in these plants because they are very low maintenance, drought tolerant, and can help benefit wildlife. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like a win-win situation in my book.
So native plants can feed insects, which in turn can feed birds, bats, other wildlife. And some species also benefit us humans, particularly pollinators, who we know are essential for production of crops. So native plants really benefit us in so many different ways. And we don't always think about the fact that when we live in urban or suburban or even rural settings, that we're part of nature. But we are, and we can boost that connection with nature and the benefits that are associated with that if we plant native plants.
So if you had to kind of give an estimate, just really how many animals does having native plants help?
I really appreciate this question, and it's an interesting challenge to try to quantify these benefits. Let's think about butterflies, for example. So in Wisconsin, we have about 150 butterfly species that could benefit from landscaping with native plants. And a fair number of these, such as the monarch butterfly, are declining. And this is largely due to the loss of habitat and food sources. Native insects evolved over millennia to digest native plants. They have special enzymes that allow them to eat and digest native plants. But you bring in plants from other places, and they are less able to eat and digest them. You know, non-native plants like ornamental trees and shrubs, or other plants that are commonly used in home landscaping. And I know most people have come to understand this concept with the monarch caterpillar and how it relies on native milkweeds. And this type of reliance of native butterflies and other insects on specific native plant species as both larval host plants and as adult nectar sources, it applies to many other butterflies as well. And in fact, it applies to many different types of insect species, not just butterflies. But then you can also consider how when you have native plants in your garden and you have all these wonderful insects that evolved with these plants, well, that benefits birds. So about 96% of North America's land birds feed insects to their young. So we have about 226 bird species that nest in Wisconsin. Now, birds also require robust food resources during spring and fall migration. And we have several hundreds of bird species that migrate to Wisconsin and across the state. You know, just thinking about the numbers of birds and butterflies that we kind of have a handle on the numbers, it's, you know, many, many, many hundreds of species. And I think that's really just scratching the surface.
What native plant species do you recommend when it comes to attracting those animals at wildlife? Which ones should I be looking for?
At the DNR webpage, if you go to the search box and type in native plants, that will take you to a whole webpage where we have all kinds of ideas and suggestions. And I'm thinking about three in particular. One is called Native Plants for Beginners, and this has plants that can be grown across the state of Wisconsin that benefit native insects and birds and that are usually readily available at native plant nurseries around the state. So milkweed, of course, we know it's important for monarchs. There's bee balm, Monarda fistulosa, beautiful plant, really important for bees and other insects. Culver's root. Now, columbine is a fun one because it has these beautiful red flowers that dangle, and those attract hummingbirds. So that provides nectar for a hummingbird. And we've got wild geranium. We've got all kinds of examples. And in fact, we provide examples of plants that flower throughout the season. And it is important to provide species that flower in the spring, in the summer, and the fall to serve the greatest number of species throughout their life cycle. So you might imagine that the asters and the goldenrods are what flower later in the summer or the fall. And those are great choices as well. We have lots of different species of asters and goldenrods to pick from. We also have a nice flyer that people can look at on our Native Plants website that talks more about specifically supporting monarchs. And then we also have one that is for birds in particular, 10 great native trees, shrubs, and plants for birds. Trees and shrubs are so important for birds. So, for example, I found this cool quote about oaks on the SOS Save Our Songbirds website. It says that native oak trees support 534 species of butterfly and moth caterpillars, while non-native ginkgo trees support only 5 species. So oaks are great. Cherries, viburnums, dogwoods, willows, birches, and conifers. Conifers are great for the finches. So that handout on bird habitat in particular is really handy. But we have all kinds of resources at that Native Plants webpage where people can find ways to get started and help them pick different species.
How do you think this has really grown in popularity over the years, and why? Why are people turning to plant more of those native species?
My theory is that the monarch butterfly has really helped capture the imaginations of people across the country, and just realizing that this beautiful insect that we all just took for granted our whole lives, that's always there, it's easy to recognize and identify, and all of a sudden it's declining. We start to learn about how, if we can provide food for the monarchs, we can actually have an impact. And I think that was a good wake-up call for people, especially living in urban and suburban areas, but then even just people in rural settings who are thinking about their home landscaping. It's like, my gosh, I can actually make a difference in the biology of this one species, and I never knew I had that power. And then we started to learn more about pollinators and how we can actually have an impact on them, too, and how important they are for our crops. And so I think it's a matter of just really helping people see that they can be part of conservation solutions, and it's not just up to biologists and scientists. And then I think people have started to learn about birds as well and how we can benefit them by providing habitat. So I think another reason that people are really keying into this is that there are many different nonprofit conservation groups that are popping up and they're getting out their message. They're offering special events. They're offering plant sales. So it's wonderful that government institutions like the DNR have these private partners across the state who are really helping spread the word and offer opportunities for regular citizens to get involved with conservation at home.
What's something that you wish people knew about native species ahead of that spring gardening season?
I want people to understand that non-native plants can have the potential to become invasive. We have a number of species that were brought here for landscaping purposes from other places, and they're perfectly lovely. And 100 years ago, people didn't realize that they could become invasive.
And that's always a good note to think about, to make sure that you take care of what you have in your garden and not always bring in something that shouldn't be here. I've got the report from Premier Livestock, but we've got Travis today. Did you give Rocky the day off?
Oh, no, he don't have the day off. We have the big herd dispersal of 440 today, so they're starting the vet check early this morning. So he's at the barn already, and they're all working hard.
Well, that's good. So you just get to talk on the radio this morning then?
Yeah, I get to talk on the radio and head that way.
All right. Well, how were those markets yesterday?
Okay, we can do that. Good morning, everyone. This is kind of how the market has went so far this week here at Premier Livestock. Three very, very busy days. We'll start out with the just the market report. The high-yielding cows this week so far trading pretty much from 120 to 132. We did top at 143 yesterday. Most of the market cows, though, trading from 100 to 119 with their lower-yielding cows, 99 and down. Certified organic cows this week, the high-yielding cows, 130 to 160. Low-yielding cows, 129 and down. Certified organic steers and bulls, 150 to 170. Our fat cattle market this week remains pretty steady. They're a little bit higher. The high choice and prime Holstein steers, 157 to 66. We did top at 173 on the Holstein steers. The low and choice steers and heifers, pretty much 150 to 156. Choice beef steers and heifers this week so far trading 160 to 175 with a top of 184. Low choice and select beef steers and heifers 159 and down with a choice dairy beef steers 160 to 175 and our unfinished and mixed grading cattle all 149 and down. High yielding bulls this week 130 to 145. We did top yesterday at 149 with the plainer quality bulls 129 and down. Baby calf market pretty steady. Most of the Holstein bull calves this week 500 to 670 with a top of $715. Our Holstein heifer calves, single birth calves 150 to 400. Quality beef calves continue to trade very strong, 600 to 950, topping at 1,000. And the light and off quality calves pretty much 200 and down. Just a little recap from the last 2 days. Very busy on the dairy end this week here at Premier Livestock. We'll start off yesterday with our dairy cows, the top quality Holstein milking cows yesterday, 2,200 all the way up to 3,100. With our good quality dairy cows, 1,800 to 2,200. And the lower quality dairy cows, 1,700 and down. Top quality spring and heifers yesterday, 2,250 all the way to 2,775. With the common spring and heifers, 2,200 and down. Tuesday, we back up just a little bit. Here we go ahead, our monthly special heifer sale. We sold 1,085 open and shortbred heifers, extremely strong market. We did have some Swiss heifers up to 3,800. You can look on the website for the pricing list on the breakdown of them Swiss heifers that we sold that day. Exceptionally good program they came off of and sold very well. A lot of them, Swiss and Holstein heifers, kind of averaging from 225 to 325 per pound. A little breakdown on our weights. Most of the Holstein open heifers, though, did 300 to 500 pounds trade from 650 all the way to $1,275 a head. Holstein open heifers, 500 to 700 pounds, 900 to 1650 per head. and our Holstein open heifers, 700 to 850 pounds, did trade from 1,200 to 1,850. Very common to see these Holstein heifers bringing 2 to 250 per pound, kind of with the top and the lighter ones up to 345 a pound. So very active market this week. We've sold a lot of dairy cattle. Starting off today at 10 o'clock, we'll sell 440 head of dairy cows, one owner dispersal. So you'll want to be on time. Very busy day, starting right off at 10 o'clock this morning. So that's been pretty busy, but we got one more day to go. And then after this dairy herd this morning, we'll move into the baby calves and the market cattle to finish up the day. So big day again. So come on out. We'll be ready to go at 10 o'clock this morning, and we'll turn her back to you, Jill.
And just so everybody knows out there, Rocky is not sleeping in. He's already at the barn, right?
He is already at the barn.
Well, thanks, Travis. I'll let you go, and you can have some fun auctioning off today as well.
We'll do that. Thank you.
And that was Travis from Premier Livestock. And boy, we are a busy, busy morning, and it's
feeding information to the folks who feed you.
And it's that lucky time of the morning where we'll be hearing from Morgan McCarthy. Good morning, Morgan.
Well, good morning. Here's what we're learning today. We start in the courts where a man from Menominee is accused of making threats at a workplace, and now that results in probation. Garrett Kintzer was accused of trying to get his coworkers to help him make bombs to burn down their workplace, which was Phillips Medisize. He was also accused of threatening to throw a coworker into a meat grinder. Kintzer accused of making terroristic threats, but took a plea deal for two lesser charges, now on probation for a year and a half, and will have to pay court costs. Continuing in the courts, a Wisconsin company sues an investment firm, a Wisconsin-based company now suing for a total of $3 million. NewGen says almost 300 employees lost their investments when MassMutual stopped offering one investment option for all staff. The company says the decision to end the agreement followed the announcement of layoffs. NewGen says affected employees lost about 18% of their earnings in a day. They say they aren't looking to make a profit from the lawsuit. Well, now in the days after HSHS officially closing doors and exiting the Chippewa Valley, we have a little bit more information about what that looks like from the front lines. Firefighters here in Oklahoma, they're saying likely now it'll take longer to drop people off for emergency service and at the ER, as Eau Claire Fire and Rescue Deputy Chief John Schultz said. It used to take about 10 minutes to drop a patient off, clean the ambulance, get back to work. Says that now is likely closer to 20 minutes because there are fewer spots at local ERs. It's Eau Claire and Chippewa Valley, of course, that lost about a third of our area's care options when Sacred Heart and St. Joe's in Chippewa Falls closed last week. Though Schultz says area hospitals are all working with them to try to speed things up and continue forward. Some local campuses recognized, both UW-Eau Claire and UW-Stout, now recognized as military-friendly designations, meaning they have efforts to create sustainable and meaningful education paths for members of the military community and military spouse-friendly schools as well. You can find these full details online from both campuses at 715newsroom.com. And certainly you know this voice.
I've always liked fishing. I try to get out a couple times a week, three, four times a week, sometimes every day. I hope this whole thing turns out all right. I mean, we could have a problem. This isn't even my boat. I just took it.
Mr. Baseball himself, Bob Uecker, the voice of our Milwaukee Brewers, will be behind the mic for the team's home opener. But after that, it'll be one day at a time. The Brewers yesterday saying Uecker will call the first home game this season, but he is 90 years old. And after that, they'll take it game by game. And plenty of people chiming in on Uecker as well. NBC Sports president Dick Ebersol saying,
he said, do you think he's funny? I said, I think he's wildly funny. In many ways, I think he's the funniest man I've ever met.
Here's a batting average here of 147.
Well, I was screwing around. I didn't, you know.
And we better round the bases and get back to the barn for those chores with Jill Welke and your Midwest Farm Report on Wax 104.5.
Well, before we head to our markets, I'd like to mention as we are rounding out our month of March, we do have some due dates here. The nomination period is still open for the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin, but it will close on Friday, so tomorrow, on March 29th. And there are three seats available on the Ginseng Board. And the Potato Board, that one is also open until tomorrow. There's also three seats available for that one. You need to go for both of these. Go to the DATCAP website and find out more. So you slide on over to dadcap.wi.gov and look up. There should be a page about marketing boards for both the ginseng board and the potato board. And on Sunday is the deadline for the Farm First Dairy Cooperative Scholarships. They're due by Sunday, March 31st. Go to the Farm First Dairy website and check that out if you're looking for those scholarships. If you're a senior or if you're a parent of a senior, there's a lot of money available. So that's March 31st. That's the deadline for the Farm First Dairy Cooperative Scholarships. And the Ag Youth Council application deadline is also on Sunday. That's where a youth gets to work with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And they have a meeting a month, and they talk about what's going on in agriculture. And there's an awful lot of FFA members that have been a part of this and said they've gotten a lot out of talking to DadCap, finding out what's going on their end, and sharing the news of what is their concern in agriculture. So that is the Agriculture Youth Council application for being part of DadCap. And that is due on Sunday, March 31st. Go to the DadCap website or visit agyouthcouncil.wi.gov. That will give you more information on that. And you do have just a few days to get that done. Well, as we work our way through our morning, we need to get through our markets, and we need to head to Barron Equity and hear from Al.
Today, we had choice beef steers and heifers from $164.50 to $174.50, with our high-yielding choice Holstein steers from $150 to $170.50. And our cows today, we hit $126 to $136.50. We topped out at $137. With 60% of our cows from $89 to $1.25, with 20% selling from $88 and down. No test on calves really today or feeders. We got April 20th will be our next sheep and goat sale. So if you have anything to consign, please contact me at 608-477-5825. Thank you and have a nice day.
And it's time to head south and hear from Hot Eamon and Sparta Equity.
Fed cattle selling steady today with the high-yielding choice beef steers and heifers 181 to 189. Choice and select beef steers and heifers 170 to 180. Beef and dairy cross steers 166 to 180. High-yielding choice Holstein steers 169 to 175. Choice and select Holstein steers 153 to 168 with unfinished steers. Heifers and heavy steers 110 to 152. Cow market steady. Quality beef slaughter cows up to 135. High-yielding slaughter dairy cows 115 to 130. Cutters and utilities 89 to 114 with low-yielding. And canner cows 88 cents and down. Bull market steady. Most bulls bringing 115 to 135 with the thin. Full and bulls over 2,200 pounds discounted at 114 and down. Just a reminder, our next sale will be Monday, April 1st, starting at 11:30 with sheep and goats, followed by hogs, calves, fed cattle, bulls, and cows. This is Hut Eamon at Equity Livestock in Sparta with this marketing update, and we thank you for your business.
And more markets are available. I've got Jerry Fitzgerald from Equity Stratford on the line. He's a little sad about having to wait till tomorrow for his baseball opener with the Brewers.
Baseball fans, just one more day yet. We have to wait for tomorrow for the home opener. It's been postponed because they're opening up in New York. So we'll wait for that till tomorrow. But in the meantime, all the other teams are pretty much, one other game got postponed, I guess, but although the weather is going to be a little better than yesterday. It was doggone cold yesterday. That's the only way to put it.
It was doggone cold, and we had three calves born yesterday.
Oh, they're doing okay, though?
They are. They got moved into the shed. My shed looks like a maternity ward, and my calf buildings look like the calves like all crowd in there. Well, it's warm for each other and everything, but it's nice embedded. So they are actually doing really well.
Well, if the sun comes out today, maybe they can take a peek out and a little bit later in the week, supposed to warm up a little bit, but it's still March, so we'll take it whatever Mother Nature gives us, I guess.
Yep, and what about those markets?
Well, we better do that, too. Jill, thank you, and good morning, everyone. A summary from yesterday, Wednesday, here at Equity Stratford, and we'll start with the feeder cattle sale yesterday. Feeder cattle continued to be in very, very good demand. Lighter weight beef steers yesterday selling from $2.50 all the way up to $3.70 per pound. Heavier beef steers mostly from $2 to $2.50. Lighter weight beef heifers from $2.25 up to $3.30. Heavier beef heifers $1.80 to $2.30. And Holsteins, about always to Holsteins, heavier and lightweight Holsteins yesterday from $1.70 to $2.45. Now we'll move into the market auction yesterday. Market cattle continue to be fully steady also on the cows yesterday. High-yielding fleshy Holstein and beef cows, they are selling from $1.19 to a top of $1.34.5. Most of the cows that we sold yesterday sold between $95 and $118, thinner cows below $95. On the bull trade, better quality bulls are selling from $128 to $142, lighter weight bulls $125 and below. On the fed cattle trade, choice grading Holstein steers selling mostly from 148 to 165 and a half. Select cattle, underfinished cattle, 145 and below. Calf market continues to be very strong. Good quality replacement Holstein bull calves. Yesterday's auction, we're selling from 450 up to 720 on yesterday's sale. And heifer calves mostly from 200 to 400. Beef calves very strong, continue to be very strong. 650 up to $1,000. Yesterday's auction. And we are Thursday. We get started this morning at 11 o'clock. Well, of course, full marketing day. We'll sell market cattle today. And then we get the little baby calves about 12:30 this afternoon. And just a reminder, in case I forget to mention it tomorrow, of course, on a normal week, Equity Stratford is always open on Sunday afternoon from 3 to 8 for the folks. A lot of folks like to bring their cattle in. If they're busy on Monday morning, they can bring their cattle in on Sunday afternoon. However, This Sunday, Easter Sunday, we will not be open on Sunday afternoon. So if you know folks that like to bring their livestock in on Sunday afternoon, just let them know we're going to be closed on Easter so our folks can enjoy Easter with their family. So, Jill, that's what we have this morning. We'll send her back to you, and well, I'll let you get back to the ranch because you'll probably have a few more calves today.
I kind of hope not.
Yeah, you need a break.
Yeah, well, I don't have to work that hard with them, but it is a job to keep putting them in and keeping them fed. But hopefully everything works out well, and I'm actually planning on letting out some of those today because they can feed themselves.
Hey, Jill, you enjoy the day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Absolutely. And that was Jerry Fitzgerald from Equity Stratford. Well, we've made it to our last look at our markets. Chicago Board of Trade. July corn is sitting at 439, down just a fraction. July oats, 348, holding steady from yesterday. July soybeans are at 1203, down 3 cents. And July soybean meal is at $341 a ton, down a dollar. And July wheat is at 563, up 1 cent. And the grain stocks report is coming out tomorrow, so that's why there's not a lot of movement on our grain. But our country elevator prices, gold and plump in Arcadia is at 377, Baldwin 377 and 1114 for beans, Chippewa Falls 360 for corn and 1114 for beans, Durand 372 and 1104, Mondovi 375 and 1109, Elmwood 379 and 1114 for beans, Fall Creek 369 and 1104, in Osseo 387 for corn and 1114 for beans, Elk Mound 366 and 1112 for beans, Sparta 373 and 1123, Ellsworth 362 and 1104, and in Loyal 367 for corn and 1099 for beans, and our ethanol plants, Boyceville 394, Stanley, 385. New Richmond, 383. And sliding on over to our cheese markets. Barrels are sitting at 142, down 1¾ cents. 40-pound blocks, down 1¾ cents to 140¾. Gray AA butters at 284, up a penny. And our Class 3 milk futures took a real big hit yesterday. March, no change, and sitting at 1641. But April down 21 cents to 1564. May down 32 cents to 1605. June down another 32 cents to 1677. And July 1752 down another 24 cents. And that's heading downward through the end of the year. Today, high of 36 and sunny, but the breeze will be out. Good to see that sun again. And that's what I have for the farm show for you today. Remember, Take care of yourself and take care of each other.
You've been listening to the Midwest Farm Report, available at waxradio.com in its entirety every day. Brought to you in part by Bluff Country Feed and Seed and Montovi. On-demand content at waxradio.com.